Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series hosted by the All African People's Revolutionary Party. The film this month is Assata Shakur Talks About Socialist Development in Cuba, showing Wednesday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Student Union in room 236. The former Black Panther and member of the Black Liberation Army, who has had political asylum in Cuba since 1984, talks about socialist practices in Cuba, racism, patriarchy, and the way forward for socialist politics. Again, that's Assata Shakur Talks About Socialist Development in Cuba, Wednesday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Memorial Student Union in room 236 at Portland State University, 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Lady Aoi, produced by Imago Theater. The play runs from March 11th through the 27th at the Imago Theater in Portland. Set in a hospital in 1956, The Lady Aoi is an erotic ghost story written by Yukio Mashima based on a 15th century no play. Again, that's The Lady Aoi, March 11th through March 27th at the Imago Theater, 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO-FM Portland. The time is 6 p.m. and coming up next is Bread and Roses. And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to whole foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbetts Street, between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop. Bread and Roses is also made possible in part by True West, presenting an evening of eclectic Celtic music with Canadian multi-instrumentalist Lauren McKinnick, March 23rd at the Arlene Snitzer Concert Hall. Tickets and information for Lorena McKinnick on March 23rd are available at portland5.com. Coming up right now is Bread and Roses.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty.
Hello and welcome to Bread and Resist, Feminist News and Public Affairs on the KBOO airwaves since 1978. Yes, this is almost 40 years, folks, the longest running feminist radio program in the country. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and tonight I will be co-hosting with Aron Andu. Bread and Roses is a collective of radio activists who give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All of this, and we have lots of fun doing it. You can connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can access our podcast, you can also share feedbacks or show ideas. Of course, we are on Facebook, find us as KBOO Bread and Roses, and we are also on Twitter, Bread Roses Radio. We always also welcome new collective members. No experience necessary. We will train you. So if you are interested in hosting with us or engineering with us, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can also call her at 503-231-8032. So tonight on Bread and Roses, we welcome many youth for, I hope, an energetic conversation about, we'll talk about current events, politics, drugs, racism, being an immigrant, and many more things. And we will also discuss, hopefully, ways that us adults can learn from youth and collaborate with them on creating a better world for all of us. But before I introduce the wonderful youth that we have here in the studio, I'm very excited to welcome Aron and Du as co-host, a guest co-host for this show. Aron, welcome to Bread and Roses.
Thank you, Delphine. My name is Aron Andu. Currently, I work for Rosemary Anderson High School. The reason why I wanted to join radio was because I would like to give my youth the voice to be heard. I also wanted to bring up a couple of issues. There is so much out there for people to learn from these youngsters. Therefore, I decided to join radio.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. So let's go ahead and have everybody introduce yourself. So maybe you could share your name. Nick, you'll go first. Nick is trying to push others to go first, but I'm going to put you on the spot. So tell us your name and tell us what's fun about you. Like, what are you about?
My name is Nicky D, a.k.a. Nick Dizzy. I just like just to hang out with people with cool vibes and just chill.
And you enjoy radio these days.
Yeah, I like KBOO a lot. Yeah. It's KBOO radio or no radio.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, let's go to Maurice, and we're sharing some microphones here, guys.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy Ice, you know, the only coldest boy you know.
Are you about? Yeah.
What I like about myself is, you know, I'm passionate and confident, and whatever I think kind of talks and, you know, relates to me, but somewhat.
And welcome back, Ice, on Bread and Roses, because you were on Mary Postlethwaite's show just a few weeks back, actually freestyling and rapping. So welcome back. It's great
much
to
love.
Have you.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Destiny.
Well, you scanned this. You scanned this, Delphine.
She's called me scandalous Delphine.
You were scandalous. Anyways, my name is Destiny. I'm chill, you know. and yeah, I like softball, but you know.
Speaking into the microphone, Destiny, you like softball.
My voice is too loud for all that.
Okay. Thank you, Destiny. Nice to have you here. Jenny, what are you about?
Well, my name's Jenny, and I love to sing. Like, I would just be home singing all day, so that's mainly about me.
That's fantastic. I'm learning things about you guys. I love it. Mario.
Yeah, it's your boy Mario. You know, a.k.a. G Savage, that pretty mother. Yeah, you know, we out here. Yeah, but nah, I'll be listening to music, yeah. And I feel it, you know, and I write it too.
Yes, and we're actually going to be playing one of your track.
It just dropped
evening.
Today.
It just dropped today.
We're cooking.
That is awesome.
We're cooking.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Great, thank you. We have a couple more guests. Adele, how are you?
Good. Well, my name is Adele, and I like modeling and like reading some books and help my mom out.
Great. Yeah. I love it.
And I'm funny.
You're funny, I agree with that. Welcome, Ado. Esedine, how are you, friend?
My name is Esedine Hassan. I like to play basketball. I like to chill. I don't really like walking, so I use a hoverboard.
You do. You brought it here.
Yeah. What?
What are you about?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Well, welcome, all of you. So I should disclose, a lot of you guys have been doing radio with me in one of the class that I teach. So all of you guys, we should disclose, are also students of ours. And so tonight we are hoping to, you know, because in our classes you share a lot, both me and Aron are very convinced that you have so much to bring to the conversation. So this is what we're doing tonight. Aron, do you want to start us off? What is the first thing you want these young people to address and tell us about?
So, lately I've been watching a lot of the news, and I see Donald Trump everywhere, and he's just been... I know it's a reoccurring theme to hear about Donald Trump over and over and over, and I'm just wondering, what do y'all think about that? He is actually gaining momentum right now in the United States, right? And people who get affected by that is us. So what do y'all think about that? Him blatantly, his population, his supporters, kicking people out or not letting black people into his rallies. It's kind of scary to think about, per sense. So I just wanted to hear a few of your opinions. What do you think and how it makes you feel when you see things like that play out on TV?
Mario?
Everybody?
Okay.
Yeah. So, I had to get on this, bro. I'm about to get on his head.
Yeah, he always making me mad, bro. Yeah, he's like with that racist thing, you know? Like, he's separating us. And, you know, that's not okay because it shouldn't be like that. Like, we're all the same, you know? But he's not, like, he's actually telling his, like, people at his rallies to, like, do something about it when they're trying to stop his rallies, you know? Like, defend it. He'll pay for, like, any lawsuit, you feel me? Like, to get him out. And, you know, that's encouraging, like, more of a racism, you know? And, but I mean, then again, like, me, when I'm on social media, like, on Facebook and everything, like, I see that black people and Mexicans are, like, coming together. And, you know, it's starting, like, a bond to see that, you know, that's not all right. And if he's going to try to do that, then we're going to come together and, you know, do what we can to stay together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel, too. I mean, I'm with it, too. Like, you know, if it comes to like rights and all that, I'm in there.
Yeah. But I love that you bring up, you know, the fact that young people especially are not, they are actually reacting to what he is doing and actually coming together. Who's got some thoughts about Mr. Trump?
This is Ice typically speaking, but I think like I'm on deck with Mario said. I had to shake him up on that because like he like thinks he could take it to the advanced level. Like, come on, you got a small loan of $1 million, but to us in poverty, that's a lot, you know. Cause like when I was growing up, I was seeing like Africans on the commercials and like 10 cents a day and stuff could help. And then like it turns out they're not really using their money on that, and like the government's really not telling us what's really going on behind like the White House besides like the positive things, but the negative things they're not really talking about. And also Trump, he's just gonna make it worse, you know, because he's kind of biased about situations. Like, how could you try to diss Mexicans and take it back? And then also at that, he had paid some black people to say that they vote for him. Well, I think he paid them because I wouldn't think no black person would typically vote for him, you know what I mean? So it's kind of weird that he's getting so much attention and it's kind of blowing up, because now that like Rubio is out, I'm like, man, I don't know who to vote for. It's either him or Hillary. Mm-hmm. But Sanders has got my vote.
Feel the vote for Ice.
Vote for Ice. There is elections going on at the school right now. Yes.
Yeah, I'm typically vice president. You know, Ice for Vice.
Yes. Okay. Jenny or Destiny, do you guys have thoughts about Donald Trump? Go ahead and pull that microphone towards you. No? It's okay if you don't.
I know you guys got a couple things to say about Donald Trump and his ridiculousness.
Okay, how about you, Nick? You probably have something to say. Or maybe not. You don't have to.
Like, I've never heard that. Like, what Aron had said about not letting African-Americans into his rallies, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if he wants to become president and most people are looking at the racial and how, like, racism still has effect on everybody, you know. And he says he wants to try to become president and help us and help the problems, but he's contributing to the problem. You know what I mean? If he's not letting African Americans in, just because, you know, he's contributing to that problem. So that right there is, that's not okay.
Yeah, it's an issue, right? Yeah. And I'd love to hear, actually, what are some of your thoughts around, like, actually racism? I think this is something that we do end up talking a lot about in class, because I think a lot of you guys are very directly affected.
I want to know you guys.
Grab that, Mike.
I want to know what you guys' like thoughts is if, like, he become president.
What do you think would happen? Is that what you're asking, Ice?
Yeah.
Cool. Who has thoughts about that? You do?
I can speak on that. Honestly, a lot of people that I've been speaking to have been saying that they would leave the country. But that within itself is a luxury that a lot of us don't have. People who live check to check are not going to really be able to just pack their bags and go to a different country. And then there's the whole visa process and finding a job and speaking the language. And so to me, the fact, you know, I genuinely believe that it's on young people, your generation, to mobilize, right? To effect, use your voice, vote. Go out there, right? Start your own movement. Why not? You all have powerful voices. You all are very intelligent individuals, correct? Therefore, I genuinely believe, even to the listeners out there, it's on you. It's not just, you cannot wait on other people to save you. This is your home now. And you cannot leave somewhere else. You gotta stay here and you gotta change things yourself. Go out there and put people in office. ICE, any of you, could be in office, right? You could all be elected officials.
Right.
And your voice could be heard then. You could go to the mayor's office. You could go to your governor. You can write letters to these representatives and let them know how you feel about these issues.
Does that make you feel some kind of way?
Yeah, low key, because I mean, what he was just saying, my parents didn't want me to come to America for nothing and for, like, Trump to, like, just kick us out back again, you know? Because they want a better future for me, you know? They, like, brought me over here so they could see me succeed and do better than them so I wouldn't have to struggle like them. Yeah, and I'm not trying to have them, like, take that privilege away.
Mm-hmm. So, Nick, do we want to open the phone lines at this time?
Yeah.
Is that what we want to do, invite people to call?
Yeah, if you guys want to call in and, you know, say something or contribute to our conversation.
The phone number, ask you guys questions.
Or ask us questions, anything. The number is 503-231-8187.
Great. Please. Yeah,
we
folks.
Can keep it clean.
Yeah, keep it clean. And also, like, contribute intelligent things to the conversation.
We don't want negative vibes here.
Yeah. Okay. So do you guys want to touch on that, on racism? Not just Donald Trump and what he is doing, but the fact that he is actually operating from this already very racist society in which we live. Who has thoughts that they want to share about that? I love a lady's voice. We haven't heard much from the ladies yet, or Mr. Essedine. Do you want to talk about that? No? Okay. Destiny, can I put you on the spot?
It doesn't gotta be me.
There's two of them up in here. Yeah. Pull that microphone towards you. You know, because I think that some of the things that you've said before and some of the things that you've contributed to our conversation around racism are very powerful because you're biracial.
Yeah, I am biracial, but, you know, why do I gotta do it?
No, you don't have to wear the headphones.
Basically telling white people, like all the racist people in general, that's okay for them to be racist mm-hmm. towards other people. Like, you know.
That's
not cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I would be upset for my mom to judge me because of my skin color and because of my race. I'll be hurt by it, so, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody got to realize that it does affect people. No matter what.
So, you know.
Yeah. What do you think that Donald Trump and his supporters are not realizing that when... That's okay, we all say.
Are you sure you pressed it?
That's okay, huh?
Yeah.
Continue. So... Yeah, let's actually say it is very important that that white people do understand what is going on around some of the things that I said by Mr. Trump. Yeah, absolutely. How about you guys? Do you have anything to say around just racism?
I find it difficult how, like, before we was even here and whatnot, they said, like, we're all equal. By rights, we're not really equal because, like, everybody got different laws, you know what I mean? Like, segregation, like, black people had to, you know, drink water fountains outside where people probably spit in because, you know, or did something foul to because it was one of them racial days. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, like, how could we be equal if, like, you know, Mexicans is, like, helping us build houses and stuff, like, you know, hardworking and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're striving for their money and whatnot. It's not the bad way, you know. Like, they're out here, like, getting their money the good way, not, yeah. like, trying to sell drugs or and whatnot, trying to be, like, having a little cartel gang out mm-hmm. here. But, like, they're really trying to benefit themselves. But for Trump to really, like, you know, say go over there, build yourself a border and stay over it, like, you know,
yeah
or a wall, you know,
yeah.
Like, how you gonna build yourself a wall and then, like, yeah, I'm a stick with it. If I was Mexican, I would have, like, you know, made a little secret passageway or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna make this wall, but I'm about to escape in a couple of days.
When, and I also wonder how he thinks that's even possible because, you know, I mean, we live in a very global society. It's not like, you know, any of us really respect borders anymore. I mean, all of us are in touch with through the internet with people from all over. It's not really physically possible anymore to restrain people anywhere. However, we're seeing this happen, and I think that in Europe also there's a very, very similar situation happening. So let's go to a quick musical break. We are going to... Oh, okay. Well, it looks like we have a phone call, so let's go to Al before we actually take a musical break. Hello, Al. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. First of all, I'd like to say I'm really, really happy to see young people getting involved in the political process. It's very, very important. The other thing I'd like to say, I'm a 52-year-old white male. And what Donald Trump has done, he's tapped into a very dangerous power base.
Mm-hmm.
What we got going on now is he's my... When I was young, I was told you were born white and male. The world is at your fingers.
Hmm.
Things have changed since then. Some of us, like myself, have evolved to it. Many, many others, especially in the South, haven't. That's what Donald Trump is tapping this anger.
Yeah.
These elder white males are wanting what they were promised, and they're not getting it, and they're really pissed about it.
That's a very good point. Thank you so much, Al, for calling, making this this contribution. I think this is one of the reasons why, for me, it's so important to actually get a diversity of voices, such as the voices of youth out there. It's because, it's important that we realize that, in fact, maybe something was promised, but something even better can come out of all of us actually embracing each other and our diversity and our amazingness and our, you know, youth and older people and adults, you know, coming together. I think that's absolutely possible. Thank you so much, Al, for calling tonight.
I learned in the Navy and also in the restaurant industry, you can get along.
Yeah, you can. We can get along. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to find out.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. And that's one of the things that we're trying to find out tonight from the youth, the voices of youth. How can we also support them as adults? You want to say something, Nick?
Also, like, I see I was calling in. I was not a kid. You know, we need to also get some kids calling in, no matter what your age is, as long as your parents will let you. Everybody from all races, everywhere, any race, we need you to call in.
Great. What's the number?
The number is 503-231-8187.
Fantastic. So let's go ahead and take a quick musical break. We're actually going to listen to your song, Mario. Oh, so G Savage, what's the name of the song that dropped
today? Give it up for G
today?
Savage out here.
Yeah,
he's hot. Yeah. Came up with it in an hour. He's hot.
In an hour, it was cooking. But yeah, shout out to Young Tone. Yeah, you know, he the producer and everything, you know. Shout out to, you know, my bae. She know who she is. She probably listening. Yeah, shout out to her. She my number one fan. But yeah, it's called Hustle Don't Sleep.
We'll be right back. This is Brad and Roses.
Yeah, Young Tone. Hustle don't sleep. Trust no soul, so I sleep with the heat. Heat. The hustle don't sleep, yo. Daily grind trying to eat, yo. Making this bread is a habit. Daily grind, just gotta have it. Pushing those Z's, right back at it. Just like an addict. G Savage, making shit happy. Just, I'm aiming, it's tragic. Yeah, it's tragic. Shit just ain't been the same. I'm switching up lanes, I'm changing the game. Ain't staying the same. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Look, been about that life. Life full of crime. The hustle don't sleep. I'm bringing that heat, bringing that heat, bringing that hitting up bandos, my nigga baddie, making them panties fall. Party life, ain't going live, trying to get lit, trying to get for it. I'm eating like a fucking picnic. Good with her tongue, wishing some good tricks. Drunk out there, making she giving me hiccups.
You're listening to Brad and Roses on KBOO Portland. And tonight we are having with youth. We have Ado and Mario and Jenny and Destiny and Ice and Nick and Esadine. And I'm Delphine Crescenzo. And tonight I am a guest co. We have a guest co-host here in the studio, and that's Aron. And so the track also, I wanted to say that we just listened to G Savage, and that's on SoundCloud, right, Mario? SoundCloud. Yeah, SoundCloud, G Savage. Great.
Team Lunchtime.
Yeah, okay.
All right, folks, I'm about to ask another question here. Hopefully I'll get these youth going a little more. I know a lot of us in this room come from an immigrant background, and so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and what it takes. You know, for us immigrants to make it out here in the United States. I know a lot of us have different challenges. Therefore, I want to ask you if you or your parents had an experience here in the United States when they came over. What was it like? What was hard? What was easy? You know, what were the beautiful moments and what were the tough moments for you and your family? So if you could speak on that, go ahead.
Man, all right, I got y'all.
It is nerve-wracking, but you'll survive.
She gonna go or not? All right, I mean, like, I'm Mexican, you know, 100%. And I'm proud of it, but when I first got here, you know, like, my first language is Spanish, you know, and then coming into a school where it's, like, all English was, like, kind of hard and challenging because, you know, I couldn't understand anything, the words, anything. Like, people would try to talk to me, and I couldn't understand them, so I remember telling my mom I didn't want to go to school anymore because I didn't understand anything, you know. And, you know, after a while, you know, I kind of learned it, got the hang of it and everything. And, you know, I'm fluent speaking it now, you know. But, you know, I still remember the first times where I was learning it and I didn't get anything at first. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Mario. Now, was it easy for you to assimilate with other kids and stuff like that, or like for you to fit in, or did you have to go the extra mile?
You know, I had to go the extra mile trying to fit in because, you know, I was a new kid, didn't know any English, you know, had to try to fit in with everybody else, but, you know,
Okay. What about the language? Was it hard to learn?
The language, I mean, they put me in a couple programs, you know, to learn it, speak it, and, like, read it and write it. And it was all right, you know. I kind of met people there, too, because, I mean, I wasn't the only one who was trying to learn the language at the time. So there was other people.
Okay. Issa, then you want to talk about your experience?
Well, my experience that when I grew up, I was the only black kid in class. So it was very hard for me I can't listen with these headphones.
That's okay, yeah.
So it was hard for me to, like, make friends. And then it was just, like, not only me, it was just my little brother. So, and then growing up at places where, like, most of my life, I never seen another black person. The only people I seen was my native people. Other than that, it was just mainly white people, and I was just the only black kid in class. And when I came to America, it was hard for me to understand English, but then I stuck through it, and it took me a lot of classes, a lot of programs like ELD and stuff. And I didn't even pass it like that, but I had to pass it on my first year in high school. And then one of the hardest parts was understanding slang terms and stuff like that towards my friend. I would never understand that, but then I got the hang of it. And then also, I'm only a teenager, so it's just a lot of stuff that I endure, and then there's more to come, so I just have to keep aware. And most of my friends that I know are from multiple races, so I really don't have a problem with race in general. But other than that, as long as you just don't be racist with it to me, I'm okay. That's it.
Yeah. I had very, very similar experience than you, Esadine, I would say. Understanding people who speak on the phone and the slang or the idioms, you know, like those expressions that we use every day, that just made no sense for me. It was so, so, so difficult. So difficult. Ado, how was it for you? Did you speak English before you came?
No, before that I came here, I didn't speak no English because, like, it was hard for me to understand people. So, like, they would talk to me, but I couldn't understand what they're saying. And I was struggling reading and writing. Mm-hmm. So, like, the best way thing that I was doing is, like, practicing reading and write. And then so my mom will tell us, like, I remember my mom telling me, try your best. And the reason that my mom bring us here is to have a better vision, better education. Mm-hmm. And that was good.
Yeah. How old were you when you came here?
Well, like, I was little, 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about making friends? How was that, making friends?
It was hard because I couldn't speak English. And, like I have my language, but I couldn't speak to them like that. I was just quiet in class. And, like, the teacher would just give me a computer, and I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I was just standing around. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. And how long would you say it took you to, like, finally become, you know, almost an American kid, I would say?
It took me a little bit for a while. Like, I have to watch TV a lot and practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my big sister was, like, she know how to speak English, but, like, I was just asking her every time what to say, and so I just learned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also had similar experiences around making friends, you know, and, like, it's hard whenever you're trying to, like,
yeah,
tell someone, I think you're cool, or what are you into? And I had studied a little bit English before I came, but it was still, you know, but I didn't come as young. I was 19 years old when I came. Yeah. Aron, what was your experience?
For me, it was really interesting. I was born in Yemen. My parents are of Eritrean descent, and Eritrea is in East Africa. When I first moved to the United States, I had to figure out who I was as a person. At the same time, I had to juggle those two different cultures and make sense of everything that was going on in this new country. I remember there was many incidents. For example, me getting detention my first day in school, not knowing what detention meant or why I was getting it. And it was because a kid that looked like me was running at lunchtime. And it was like a dilemma, I know. it was a crazy dilemma for me. But what really got me the most was seeing my parents, two individuals. My father was a pharmacist back in Yemen, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom to take care of us, but sometimes when times got hard, she would work. I thought it was really interesting to see the emotions that the parents had to go through, giving up a pharmacist job where we were comfortable and coming here and working as a clerk at 7-Eleven and being robbed and, you know, having weapons drawn at you and all of that, and then being a janitor. And, you know, they did all these hard jobs to take care of us. So for me, there was no option. I had to make it. I had to be different than what my parents did. And I thought that was interesting because this is the land of opportunity. And then there's all these different things hindering you, like racism, classism. You know, when you get older, you start noticing things like redlining and not being able to get loans simply because of, you know, your race or your background. And them thinking, oh, I'm going to give you this loan, but I'm going to go behind you and I'm going to bet against you not making it. And so all of these things play into that picture, into that bigger picture. And so I that was my experience in a nutshell. However, I would like to tell other youth out there who are immigrants, please, please, please do not conform. Be yourself. Go out there. Talk to people. Learn the language, but don't give up who you are to be that.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome message. Thank you so much, Arun, for sharing some of your experience. Sounds like we have another person who called in. This is Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey there. How's it going?
Pretty good. Are you enjoying the conversation?
Yeah, I am. It's actually really awesome to hear you guys talking about your experiences. That's actually something that I wanted to hear more about when you started the conversation, is who you guys are and what your experiences have been and what makes you who you are, because that's really important, and it's really cool to hear how in touch you guys are with your history. So my question kind of goes back to the last caller, and he seemed to have an opinion about why people are interested in Donald Trump, as foreign as that might be to some of us. I'm just wondering, why do you guys think Donald Trump is so popular? I mean, is it just the violence, or is it the kind of because he's really rich, or just, I'd like to know what why you guys think he's so popular. And I'll hang up now and let you guys talk about
great.
It. Thank you so much.
Thanks for this great question. I just jumped on it, Kyle. why is he so popular?
I figure that he's popular because he got endorsed like some small amount of money. Like, well, I figure it's small because he didn't earn it. He got it loaned to him. So, like, I find that he's like popular because most people, like, you know, some people are racist out there, and some people, you know, want to go back to those racist days where people are just getting abused, and some people are like being sold and whatnot, just like, you know, just like their toys or something. But really, life isn't like a toy. It's really a matter. Like, people think like, oh, let's do this and let's do that and see where it goes. No, it's not like that. Once you're like in the house, you know, you gotta take like bigger leaps. Like, people say feel froggy and jump, but usually it's not the fighting way, you know. It's like the liberty rights way. So we're trying to get our constitutional rights on the equal page instead of being biased and like, oh yeah, I don't like this race or that race and whatnot. So
mm-hmm. Nick, did you also want to share something about why you think Trump is popular?
You know, he's had a TV show. he's been not in the spotlight, but he's been known for a while. And so, how do I say, like, you know, it was all going around. He likes to say you're fired and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's known by a lot of people, and so many people are just thinking, you know, he's this great man. He has all this money. He's a good businessman. He's going to get the country right. And so I think that's why so many people are looking to like him.
Do you think maybe people hope that one day they'll be like him? Like, is that the American dream kind of idea? Is that why they're okay with him being so outrageous? Because they're like, one day I'm rich, I want to be outrageous too. That's my theory.
Yeah, because he's made so much money and all off of just a little loan of $1 million. Not much. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like, because he's been so popular, you know? Yeah. And so they're...
In the media, right?
Yeah, and so they're thinking, you know, oh, he's going to do right, he's going to do right. And, like, they say that racism is gone, but the people who are racist and that are prejudiced or what you want to call it are going to vote for him because they have the same view, so they're going to want that too. Mm-hmm. So
I honestly believe that there are many reasons why Donald Trump has become this big phenomenon in the United States. Obviously, he is a rich man. He has his name in so many different towers in the United States. He has his own show. He had his own line of vodka. I mean, you name it. He's an entrepreneur, and he had his name out there. And he had many different things that he tried. But at the same time, I think that Donald Trump represents this hidden part of the United States that the rest of the world doesn't get to see. And that is, you know, every person has that good and bad part of him. And, you know, and it's a constant fight between the good and the evil. But at the same time, this hidden part of the United States is kind of like when guests come over and you just sweep all the dust under the rug. That's what Donald Trump represents, is that racial tension that's carried over from back in the 60s.
It's been under the rug.
That's been under that rug. It's starting to come out right now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it manifest. I mean, obviously, it affects a lot of people. A lot of youngsters out there are starting to wonder, would they be the next one shot in the street? Mm-hmm. You know, what's that one lady's name? Rachel Dozola, I think is her name? The lady from Spokane?
Who pretended, who was white.
Dozola. She was... a white lady who pretended to be black, and she was fired, and you know, she lost her job and she lost her NAACP seat. Mm-hmm. And then we got young black men being shot, and the people who are shooting them are not getting no time. Mm-hmm. And they still get to keep their jobs. And so that shows you that dilemma that Donald Trump represents today in the United States. Not saying that everybody's bad, no, but we all have that side of us that we try to keep hidden. And that's what he represents to me. And at the same time, the media takes things and runs with it to distract people from what's going on out there. There are so many different parts of the world that are being bombed right now, being, you know, airstrikes. Yemen, where I grew up, is going through a war right now. And I never hear anything about it. There are children back there dying day to day. And nobody talks about these issues. And that's what's hidden out there. And you know, I truly believe that, you know, we're distracted over here. There are so many different things to distract us.
Yeah, yeah. Namely, Donald Trump. He is distracting everybody these days. But
and
I appreciate
tell you that money distracts people too.
Yeah, but I also appreciate, you know, around your perspective, which is, you know, like there is also a certain desire to keep us distracted, you know, so that we don't talk about the real issues, so that we don't come up also together and talk about solutions. So, well, let's go ahead and take a short musical break. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and tonight in the studio we have Aron and Ado and Mario and Jenny and Destiny and Ice and Nick and Essadine.
Nick Dizzy.
Everybody, yay!
You know, I'm vice president now, so you know, it's Ice for Vice.
And so we're going to go to a song that Nick chose from Kevin Gates. That's how it is, tongue twister for me. Kevin Gates. And Really, Really, that's the name of the song, right?
You really, really need to be listening to KBOO right now.
Yeah, really, really, really. Okay, we'll be right back.
And I'm shining bright, cause I'm really grinding. They ask me if I'm real, I say you should stay blue. My daughter gon' love this chip. All my damage shine, cause they really damage.
him believe. A lyrical songwriter and he can sing. Bringing in money like raking in leaves. I was just trying to get paper to sneeze. Achoo! That was a blessing. She's special to you. I don't look at her special. Actually, I treat her regular. Not being seen, we not making no spectacle. Gave out a verse and he gave it a Kevin. All the above, we do all the etc. Scared of the fans, had to switch out my cellular. He talking reckless, don't call me back ever. Passing through guard at a holler at Glover. Shout out to Black, shout out to Shedrick. Break my name, call him for K911. Just holler that trail. I'm like the reverend, my section ridiculous. Watch when you stepping. Pockets on indigent, can't be too careful. Steve like I'm tall, and when they yellow. Broken in college, fresh with low mileage. I like them black, pretty white teeth. Body unique, booty on fleek. Jenna Aiko, chewing her cheeks. Groceries, please, you know that was
all my damn shame.
Don't nobody mess with us. Keep it strong in case anyone tests us. Right or wrong, if it's this, you don't mess with us. When you're over here, I don't mess with us.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. And tonight in the studio, we have youth. And we also have Aron. And well, Aron, I guess you could be a youth too. You're a little bit like me, not that youthful anymore. But
I'm a giant youth.
We're still youth. And so we have youth here with us in the studio. And we've been talking about all kinds of different topics, but there was one topic that actually some of you guys wanted to really talk about, and that is prescription drugs and how youth get addicted and how that affects you guys' friends. Next, you want to go?
I'll go in a minute. I got to process my thoughts.
You want to process your thoughts. Who had thoughts, an idea, a doll about
drugs?
Yeah. Well, prescription drugs, right? Well, I think like we're talking about
everyone's like rappers and famous people are glorifying it. Like they know the epidemic, but they're still glorifying it.
I think that just because not one of these. I'm good. I was talking about my ugly duck, the little one I drew out there.
Yeah, I know. There's lots of cookie and cookie decoration at Kebu today.
But to be honest, I think like, when I walk around, I see more dispensaries than fast food restaurants. Like, although that it just came up and whatnot, like, there's, you go down a block and you see like three dispensaries on one block in the same street.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yep, okay, I know what Portland's about now, keeping it green.
I think it was about that before. How about other kinds of drugs? I think some of the thoughts that we had was around, you know, those like medication for ADHD or
that lean.
Yeah. Nick?
No, even at, you know, 16, I'm seeing kids younger than me that's getting addicted to these drugs, and they're out here, they're willing to risk their futures, their freedom, do anything for these drugs. And people like rappers, they'll talk about popping pills or drinking lean or just anything, you know, like just reckless stuff that they talk about how they want to help, like they want to help youth or be a good influence, but you turn around and you do this. And
so what effect is that having on you?
I don't like to see that. Just no, I don't care who you are or what kind of person you are, or if you're my enemy, I don't want to see nobody go through the battle of prescription drugs, street drugs, any drugs, alcohol, anything. But the more that it's being glorified, the more kids are going to want to do it to be cool, to fit in. And I don't know, that's like a big issue to me because I see it a lot.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off of that, Nick, it's so interesting to see how a lot of kids utilize these drugs as a method to cope with their day-to-day struggles. I mean, we all, if you think about everyday stressors, right? For a student, you got the school you got to go to every morning. Then you have homework. And somewhere, some like in between all of that, you got to figure out what you're going to eat and who's going to feed you. And, you know, and then now you have, you know, those who have parents at home doing drugs and drinking alcohol all the time. And if that's all they have coming up, then that becomes their way to cope with the struggles on their day-to-day, you know, situations. Therefore, I feel like that's also an issue that needs to be addressed, right? If your role models are doing it, then it's pretty much very easy for you to do it as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I mean, at least there's nothing that prevents you from wanting to do it. How does that influence you when you listen to rappers and they say, or did it used to, or do you understand how some other youth maybe could get?
Me personally, I could listen to any type of music and not be influenced by that or want to follow them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I know maybe other people are more easily influenced, but I could say that I'm not really that easily influenced by the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know what you talk about. I could listen to a song and not be wanting to be like, oh, I want to do all these drugs, I want to do all that, just, you know. But other than that, I probably think, yeah, this song is okay or something, you know, to a certain extent. But nowadays, we got kids that listening to that stuff and they're like, oh yeah, this is what we about, this is what we doing, popping bottles, popping tags, all this, right? And rappers really don't set an example because, like, everybody just look at them as a role model, but they're just somebody that's like a musician. But nowadays, people look at them as role models. But me, I don't look at them as a role model. I just look at them as an artist. But some people want to look up to them, want to do all that stuff. Me, I don't really want to. I do want to do my own stuff, but not like their stuff. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's cool.
It's great.
It's cool.
Cool. Anybody else has thoughts about artists actually and how they influence? Because I mean,
I somewhat did.
You are an artist too, so talk about how that influences you as you try to influence others with your message.
So like when I was little, like I listened and witnessed my parents, like, you know, singing and rapping together as like a duet, and you know, like the old classic music. So I got into it, and then I didn't know how to, like, you know, function with the little old classic music, but I was trying to be, like, a little Tupac one. But when I started seeing them, like, smoking, like, herbs and stuff on their, like, on their music video, I'm just like, okay, they smoking dro. So it's like, okay, that's what they did to, make a come up, or I'm going to do that too, but only done, like, you know, the herbs for my past years, none of that meth or anything, because, like, from movies and whatnot, they be, like, twacked out, want to do some ridiculous stuff, like, you know, snort a whole key off their hand or whatnot, and then try to jump off a building or something on that crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
End up hitting a key and then have a crazy white chick, you know? No racist. anyone could be crazy. Got one here.
Uh-oh. Okay, I have a question for all of y'all.
What's that?
Okay.
Because we've been talking about a lot of the issues and, you know, a lot of the serious things, but I want to talk about your voice. You're the youth. You're the future. So I want to talk about, more like a question to y'all. How important is it for your voice to be heard by us adults? And what does that look like to you? And any of you can answer that question.
It is very important.
Why, Mr. Nick?
Because, I mean, youth, you know, as youth, we haven't had much experience as an adult, or, you know, not everybody wants to listen to youth, or, how do I say, like, they don't look at youth like they're trustworthy, or they want to listen to them, or they have something intelligent to say. So when you find somebody that will listen to you and talk about real stuff with you, it means a lot, you know? Just to have, like, a conversation about what's going on, or real world stuff, like what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important.
Cool. So what does that look like, adults listening to you or finding ways to connect with you? Nick, what do you think adults should do?
You know, there's been teachers in the past that will kind of look down on students or act like they're better, but I know, like, at POIC, the school that I go to, shout out to POIC, by the way. teachers are very, they're open with the kids, and they let them know that you could talk to them, and they're there for everybody. So, pretty much just, you know, teachers, we spend most of our time in school, and so the people, the teachers, the staff at school let us know that it's okay to talk to them and that they're very open to listen to us.
Cool. Esther Dean, what are your thoughts? How can adults support youth, or support you specifically, and how?
Well, first thing, you got to stop judging. Because I feel like that if I say something, I'm going to be judged. And I'm just letting them know about my opinion. And they don't really, like, teach us as we're youth. They don't really teach us about the good or right or what to do. They just, like, pressing us to do stuff and stuff like that that we don't want to usually do. But I think that if... The school that we go to, they let us know, like Nick said, they let us know that we could talk to them and be open with them and stuff like that. But I'm an introvert, so I keep a lot of stuff to myself. But other than that, those are like the only adults that I talk to. And once I go outside, I don't really talk to adults, don't really have conversations, because I feel like that they're just judgmental or racist or something. I don't know, because I feel like everybody just looks down on me or something in a way. So I just try to keep my hope up and just smile. Just don't really care. So,
thanks for sharing your perspective.
And listening.
Yeah, listening is a good one. Destiny, adults, what can they do?
Well, like Esther Dean said, not to be judgmental, because to be honest, most adults are judgmental. Like, they want you to talk to them and stuff, but when you try to talk to them and express your feelings and stuff, they, like, judge you for it. But at the same time, it hurts for us teens to get judged, especially when adults say, oh, yeah, you can come talk to me, and I won't judge you, and blah, 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 and... But at the same time, when you go try to talk to that adult that said they weren't going to be judgmental towards you, they're judgmental. Mm. And, yeah, like, you could just sit down and, like, give us advice and try to lift us up instead of bring us down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be helpful instead of, you know, mm-hmm. judge.
So what would that look like? That would look like, for example, if you go to an adult and you say, you know, I have this going on and I made this decision. That instead of them telling, oh, you should not have made this decision, that they say, okay, thank you for sharing that you've made this decision. You know, in the future, if you want to make other decisions, maybe here are other ways that you could go about it. Would that be a good way of,
like,
going about it? Okay.
Like, try to be like, oh, you should, like, give advice, like, oh, you could do this next time or something, instead of be like, oh, no, don't do that, and blah, blah, and it's wrong.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you, Destiny, so much. Okay, Ice, and then you guys have also a quick bit?
I kind of feel like, in my opinion, like, my parents raised me right. Like, sometimes they wasn't, like, there for my games or, like, to support me, like, on their, like, radio or sometimes. Or, like, come to my awards. But when they did, like, it meant a lot to me. And, like, sometimes a child or a youth, like, having their voices heard is, like, it means a lot to them to know that someone's listening. And if someone's not listening, then another person's, like, there to listen. And, you know, if you need a shoulder to cry on, one person will be there if you're not scared to, you know, let how you feel out. But sometimes adults, like, feel like they've been in that situation too. So when they give you that word of advice and, like, you take it, it gives you somewhat a relief. And, like, when you have anger, emotions, and all that kind of, like, built up in you, you know, someone to talk to is always that good for a day. Because, you know, some people might have, like, depression, like, you know, I want to kill myself or something. Mm-hmm. I don't mean nothing because nobody listens to me, you know. So it's like, just for people out there, you know, if you listen to 90.7, you know, and your kid is just, like, you know, not talking to you, please talk to them as of today, because it could change their whole life just to talk to them and be like, hey, son, hey, daughter, yeah. You know, I just wanted to know, you know, Ice is talking to you guys, you know.
Ice was got on the radio.
Right, Ice got into my head. He wanted me to talk to you for a little bit, you know.
This is great.
So, just like, you know, communicate with them. You know, they might have something on their mind that been on there for like a while. So, and just like talk to your kids, you know. You know, be more out there for them and whatnot. Have them through thick and thin no matter what.
Thank you, Ice. Okay, we only have less than a minute. So, Jenny, you think shout most out of what you would say would have said. Ado, do you have anything to add? Or
I
Mario?
I really have nothing to say.
Okay, cool. Mario, how about you? Do you have any final thoughts on adults? Grab that mic, friend. No, you're cool. Okay. Well, so I want to thank you all so much for opening up, for sharing so much about your own personal perspectives. You guys know that I love doing that. That's why I come to your class. Thank you, Aron. Okay, 2 seconds for shout outs.
I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out my mom, my grandma, my grandpa, my baby girl, Shay.
Okay, come on.
Share
with people.
All right.
I want to shout out my family and everybody, you know, supporting me. I like to shout out America, who's not voting for Donald Trump's stupidity out there, you know. And I like to support whoever is just talking and, you know, communicating to their kids after I told them, you know, it means a lot to me, so.
We got
to
wrap it up.
I want to shout out to my family, my brother, and everybody who support me.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming around. This was a pleasure. We are actually going to listen to Tank Millions because Destiny picked that song. Have a great week, everyone. This has been Bread and Roses. Nia will be your host next week. We out.